Wayne Sussman joining us in studio. Very good morning.
Hi, it's great to be here, Howard. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. All right, you're a political analyst. You spend a lot of time keeping an eye on what's going on in the world of politics. Overall impression of last night?
Look, obviously people are going to focus on the disruption, and I'm kind of kicking myself here that that's the first thing I'm going to say. But let's come back to the disruption. I think compared to normal State of the Nation addresses, Ramaphosa went straight down to business. There was very little pomp and ceremony. He ended on a very strong note. Don't get me wrong. When he spoke about Ladysmith Black Mombasa, there was a beautiful tribute. But I think he wanted to hit the nail on the head and focus on Eskom straight away. And this is what many, many South Africans, even though it is an hour and a half later, wanted to hear about, and he did give some very, very interesting solutions. And what another thing which I want to focus on isn't just, again, what the EFF did to disrupt, but certain people's facial expressions. And it was very important for me to watch Tito Mboweni, the Minister of Finance's facial expressions, and obviously he had seen a copy of the speech. But as we know, if you follow him on Twitter, and he's a very interesting person to follow on Twitter, he's someone who's not guarded. He puts his emotions out there. He puts his fears out there. And there were certain times during the speech where his eyes were raised, and you could see that the Minister of Finance, the person holding the purse strings in South Africa, had visible concerns.
Yeah, so there was a lot of that to watch. I mean, we were speaking a little bit earlier about the deputy speaker whose facial expression. One of our listeners said looked like he needed Movicol, but he was very, very expressive. There was a lot of real emotion there, I thought, last night. And with all of the antics and all of the childish behavior, there was what I found was once the EFF were out and they continued this conversation, there was a real maturity around all the various parties. And I have to say, of all the things last night, that gave me the most hope. That made me feel the most positive. Because if we take a snapshot of Parliament and all we see are the red berets and their terrible, terrible, disrespectful behavior, and then you take a snapshot just a little bit later, it actually was quite incredible. From Buthelezi, every single party spoke with real dignity and real respect to the process, to Parliament, to the House. And I thought that was very, very impressive.
100%. One of the things which we battle to see in South Africa is this idea of bipartisanship, of whether it's opposition parties working together in local government or parties working together with the ANC in Parliament. And the EFF allowed, their actions and activities allowed for bipartisanship last night, for different parties to come together and saying, we have to draw a line in the sand. This cannot go on. We cannot destroy our institutions like Parliament. There has to be repercussions and actions taken.
Yeah, absolutely right, and that did come across. That did come across very, very well. In terms of what was interesting to me is a number of things. Number one, he kept very, very far away. He didn't go near the Middle East, which was a big relief for me, considering his earlier utterances in the week at the AU. I thought that was important. His language around the NHI made me think he doesn't buy it. He's saying it because he has to say it. It's never going to happen. He couldn't even get the words out. He was stumbling over the numbers. We had a Zuma moment there.
So I know a lot of people think cannabis is related to recreation and sports, but it's actually the cannabis licenses fall under the Department of Health. He spent more time speaking about cannabis than he did about the NHI.
So what does that mean to you?
So I again, and there was folly with the way he spoke about cannabis, which I do think maybe suggests that there's certainly going to be delays in the NHI, and it might be folly for him as well. That is not realistic. Mm. With regards to your comment about the Middle East, I've noticed there's certain lines in most Sona speeches with regards to Israel and Palestine and the Western Sahara. There was none of that in. So even though those countries, those areas, those conflicts always get repeated, over time, there's been less focus on foreign policy. Last night, in my recollection, was the lowest and least focus on foreign policy, on foreign affairs. And it's really, really interesting. Again, we have to focus on the bread and butter issues affecting South Africa.
I think that was the message. I think that's what he wanted to be very clear about, is that we're not worrying about other stuff. We are worrying about our own backyard. Which means he's heard, because there has been a lot of that talk. Every time the ANC or he has stepped up to speak about something international, they've been whacked down. And the standard thing is switch the lights on before you worry about other countries. And it seems as though he heard that.
100%. Switching on the lights, making sure our school systems are effective, making sure our municipalities are able to deliver basic services. Those are the key things affecting South Africans, not conflicts or relationships or weakening relationships with countries overseas.
I'm so glad he didn't talk about building smart cities.
He did.
I'm sorry. He did. So now we know where the smart city is going to be.
We are. We've got more details about it.
And I would say that the smart city is bolder. I don't want to be too bogged down by this, but he spoke about Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Madibeng, which is in the northwest. So you've got three municipalities, two provinces working together. He wants 300,000 to 500,000 people living there in the next few years. It's very, very ambitious. So again, I agree that it was very nuts and bolts, that it was more, I'm on a Jewish community radio station, I can use the word tachlis.
Because about 50% of our listeners aren't Jewish. So
it's a good word.
Tachlis is a good word. It's the nitty gritty, it's the nuts and bolts.
So there was definitely more focus on the nitty gritty. However, there were certain idealistic aspirations. So how are we going to develop the smart city if I was on Lüeburte early this morning going for a run. I couldn't believe the state of the litter, the pavements, etc. So can we build a smart city without getting our major economic powerhouse, Johannesburg, back in order? Can we build a smart city without delivering basic services to the people? And that's going to be the challenge here.
That does seem to be the only thing that I would say to you, the only thing that really bothered me about his speech, and it really bothered me, was his reference to Fidel Castro and the whole Cuban story. Because if this was the one international leader that he chooses to mention, and Fidel Castro being a human rights abuser of real note, what on earth was that about? Is that still a shout out to the ANC's Marxist agenda?
So look, there's always going to be this tension of state of nation address. You have to keep your party happy, you have to keep your base happy, and you have to make the country happy, and you have to make investors happy. The nod to Fidel Castro is, let's not forget that the South African Communist Party is part of that tripartite alliance, and that Cuban partnership with healthcare, which I understand is being extended now, I think, to engineers as well, is a hallmark of the ANC government.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't say that out loud. Did I just say that out loud? Cuban doctors aren't bad enough, so now we're going to get Cuban engineers.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Just don't walk under any coverings. But so you're saying it's a reference to less to his, what I took as a sort of a shout out to a Marxist ideology, but more about keeping the tripartite alliances happy.
Correct. If he has to tackle the SOEs, he needs to keep the SACP and KUSATU happy. That's a nod to past.
And what's your thoughts on what he actually said about Eskom, going back to that?
Well, one of the big things, which I think is really tangible, something which can be executed quite quickly, is that it allows municipalities to now buy power from independent power producers. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very positive step forward. I think there's a chance of a lot of jobs created in that regard. And I think that this will also keep Eskom on its toes, that municipalities will no longer be beholden to buy their power directly from Eskom, and they can look at alternative sources.
Well, wasn't the, and I can't remember, and especially because I don't understand any of it, is he kept referring to the amount of power generated for what you need in terms of permission. Was that significant?
No, I still think, despite these positive utterances, it's going to take a hell of a long time to turn Eskom around, even with these independent power producers coming on board.
Right.
So we need a lot more capacity. Even though he's speaking about addressing this capacity, there's a lot more to be done. But right from the outset, he said there are real challenges with regards to load shedding. He didn't make a promise that it's going to go away immediately. And he did speak about it becoming too predictable and that he has to work, and Eskom has to work to minimizing the disruptions.
With regard to SIA, that was obviously the other big topic that is potentially very sensitive for him, given the fact that, the EFF had now left the building, but they seem to be quite fond of their flights down to Durban on SIA.
Correct. And he also has to care about Kusati there, who are alliance partners. There's a big court case being heard today. So how does he grow the economy? How does he attract additional investors and again keep those alliance partners happy? It's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, of course, SOEs are a great concern and the management of SOCs are a great concern to many people in this country. He made some interesting promises, such as modernizing the rail. I think people can forget how many people in a place like in Tshwane in Pretoria, how many people in the city of Cape Town rely on the rail networks. And I think the number is 4 billion rand. He's putting the idea of putting 4 billion rand to redevelop those lines, which take so many of our workers, so many of our commuters to their place of work every day. And that's a positive step forward. Can he deliver it in the year ahead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your thought overall, positive, negative, in terms of the whole experience and not ignoring the EFF?
So let's deal briefly with the EFF. It's not the first time de Klerk's been to the State of the Nation address.
Sure.
And I think it took people by surprise. I mean, it was an easy person idea to pick on. We knew that he was going to go after Gordhan. I just want to focus on the way he went after Gordhan. The way they use the term Jamnandas, I think that's deliberate. I think there's a possible racial stereotype to
that.
No,
for sure.
Certainly.
There's not even a question.
And let's also, and Howard, you're a wordsmith, the word untouchable. We know that certain Indian castes are considered untouchable. I found it very interesting. He's basically saying that Ramaphosa will not touch Gordhan. He's scared of Gordhan. But also the word untouchable made me feel I had great discomfort with regards to that word. So there was a lot of tension between different communities last night, up until the point when the EFF left the chamber, and then we said things did turn around. There was a Springbok rugby captain, Miss Universe, some aspiring entrepreneurs who got the good nod. We left off on a better note, feeling some kind of hope that there is a plan, but I'm really interested to see the budget speech and how Minister Mboweni is going to make the State of the Nation address a fiscal reality.
Yeah, not going to be an easy one. Not going to be an easy one at all. If I had to ask you out of 10, the speech itself. I know it's all about implementation.
Correct.
But looking at it as the speech, not looking at what needs to follow.
Look, there was an hour and a half delay, and then it was a speech for an hour and 20 minutes. That's a huge, that's like going to a T20 cricket match. It's actually very quick. That's the same length.
How is it also that it was co-written by a grade 11 pupil?
That's correct. You should get the grade 11 person on the show.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
And she's from hometown.
Oh, rubbish.
Well, home province.
Oh,
wow.
Exactly.
just had to add that in.
That's really Khoza. People are like Jews. They have to identify somebody who's Khoza because like, you know,
of
that's
course.
That's
pride.
Exactly.
So I prefer to watch a T20 cricket match.
Right. I hear you.
Six out of 10.
All right, 6 out of 10. What did you rate it? 34519 or 061-895-1019. Wayne Sussman, thank you for taking the time to chat to us. Very, very interesting insights and certainly gives us a lot to think about. Time is 8:54. I'm Howard Feldman. Linda says, lovely stuff. I'm now doing a bit of that hip jiggle. Just a picture it. Colin says, morning, so it was a total waste of time, money and energy. Should have been load shedding when the EFF left. And Shelley says, hi, did he mention the creation of jobs? And Ati, before we come back to Wayne to talk about these things, were you saying that the kid that wrote the speech was Xhosa?
It's Xhosa. And I mean, already we had Zozibini Miss Universe, who's Xhosa there.
She also.
And Sia Kolisi. I mean.
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, and as I've, you know how the Jews run the financial system in the world?
And the weather.
I just feel like, Xhosa people are just carrying the whole universe.
Yeah.
Carrying the whole universe on our
backs. I don't know where South Africa would be. Actually, I really don't know where South Africa would be. Wow, that's actually quite unbelievable. When the issue of job creation, before I let you go, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, the president spoke about 1.2 million people, young people entering the job market every year. Two thirds of those are unemployed. It's a ticking time bomb. It's a real crisis in South Africa. So he spoke about job preparation or job training centers. He spoke about a 5-point plan. Of course, he's had this YES initiative to try create youth employment with big companies. Getting youth more ready for the job market. But I think, to be honest, even though he spoke about redirecting resources there, this is going to be a big challenge. He gave 5 points, but I didn't see many tangibles. And it will be interesting to see how we compare SONA 2021 with SONA 2020 to see how successful he was with integrating so many young people into the job market this year.
If we look at SONA last year versus SONA this year,
well, last year spoke about Cape to Cairo. I think he scaled it back a bit. There were some important things. I mean, two of the industries which are really facing uphill battles at the moment are the sugar industry and the steel industry. He spoke about master plans for those industries. That was very important for those industries to hear, but let's see the tangibles. Let's see whether he can really help those two industries thrive, because they're both big job creators in this country.
Yeah, and again, the thing that I liked most about it was that he brought it closer to home. He didn't look internationally. It wasn't lofty in terms of magnificent poetry. And I think the way in which he ended was important, because it was a relevant poem, a relevant quote to use in terms of current affairs in South Africa. So I happen to think that it was a good speech. But again, it's just about translating it to action. That's really, to me, what it all amounts to, what it's all about. Sanati, your thoughts finally?
No, it was a very good speech, and I'm just glad that he wasn't, because last year he was dreaming. That's what we got. So at least this year he's put down some good points, and now it really is just up to everybody else.
But he's not letting go of cyber cities, right?
Oh my gosh.
He's not letting go of cyber cities.
Clearly not.
Yeah, so okay, you know what they say, when man can no longer dream of the beauty that can be, then he has begun to die. That's what they say. So I think that's not a bad thing at all. I think dreaming is good. I think dreaming is important, and it's absolutely vital, because when we stop dreaming, really, we become, that's when we are in serious trouble. So this is where we love and leave you. Hope you had an interesting show. We certainly did. I hope you have a great Valentine's Day. And
there's still that,
Sanati. No, you can go out and enjoy it. You've had your fun here. We've played you all of the breakup songs. We played you the last desperate attempt songs, and I hope that you have enjoyed them. We've tried to find the cheesiest songs as we could find. What's your plans for the weekend, Zanati?
So I've got an audition tomorrow. Today and tomorrow, actually.
What
so
for? Shouldn't I ask on air?
No.
Fine, I'm not asking. I'm not asking, but you've got to go shopping for it today.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll find something.
Okay, I'm sure. What kind of thing are you looking for?
No. You guys will see on my Instagram and my Facebook.
I was just
going
to say, yeah, I'll have to come on anyway. Go Online tomorrow after Shabbat, and then I will see exactly what it is that Zanati managed to buy. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I hope you can disconnect from anything that is stressful, anything that is unimportant. Connect to the things that are important. And whether you're Jewish or not, I can encourage you to get off social media for 24 hours. Just do it. Switch off your phone. Anybody that needs you will know how to get hold of you. Or if you want to keep the actual phone part on, then do that. But just leave social media alone for 24 hours. I cannot tell you how refreshing it is to do that. It is not easy to do, but it is absolutely vital. Just go ahead and do it. Have a Shabbat Shalom. We'll see you Monday morning. Same time, same place. Don't be late.